if we go a little bit deeper into some examples with some of the work you've done, what are your views on where you've seen in that context of innovation, where diversity of thought had worked really well? So can you think of an example where you say, this is how the group came together, this was different thinking, and this is where it achieved, or otherwise, where the lack of diversity was what probably limited, how far they could get. So it was about any examples where lack of diversity or genuine diversity and inclusion deliver a particularly interesting outcome in terms of innovation.
Yeah, so let me give you a couple examples. One in the hospitality industry, the hotels think about how to, there is talent diversity, all right? And, we've been talking a little bit about that. But then for the sake of what? And this right thing to do, and also get best talent. But also, if you're selling a product or a service, how is it that you then address diversity of the marketplace? And so let me give you an example of innovation to say, so think about a hotel chain that has traditionally appealed to businessmen, and I say that deliberately, businessmen, because that's the majority of business people were male for multiple generations. So a hotel is going to make decisions about what will make that business man more, they won't even think about the man part, right? It's just kind of slips off the tongue. But we got to pause and say it's a businessman because so much of the experience of that traveler, it has to do with how do we make him feel more comfortable in a home away from home, right? And a lot of these individuals have been more individualistic. If I use Euro-American or white Australian example, sort of an individualistic sense of self, and maybe a greater, and with that, maybe a less need for a communal connection. It's a generalization, but you look at normative behavior for different cultural groups, and that is a reality. So hotels then were designed to give that businessman of a certain generation privacy, quiet, leave him alone, right? The businessman then forgets his toiletries, and he has a business meeting the next day, and he calls the front desk, and he asks for a kit, an emergency kit, and the kit comes up, and there's a razor in there, right? And maybe toothbrush and toothpaste, and maybe a little bit of deodorant, he's happy. Now, innovation. We have business women traveling. And it turns out that the business women are having a hotel experience that is not geared to the woman part of business, right? And they don't feel accepted, they don't feel welcome, and why not? And so the hotel sees revenues decline or satisfaction decline, and then they start asking why, and they start to realize that, oh, if we segment it by men and women, we're starting to see a difference. But how do we solve it? So now you get a diverse team, right? And we have to be innovative. What are we missing? We don't get this. This is the best toiletries kit that we can have. We're leaving them alone. It's a clean room. It's welcome. What are we going to do? So you need a diverse team. And you need a diverse team to start, put the problem in front of us. What do we need to solve? Now, this particular technique, because there's many ways to generate innovation, but one of the ways is you got to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer of your product in this case. So let's put the men and the women, as a team and go through a hotel experience, just kind of walk through it. What does the lobby look like? What does the reception look like? I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I just came off, what's the experience? And they start to then, and then you start breaking it down and you start to see that the men and women are looking for different things in terms of not only water, but the experience of the water, right? And it turns out, again, I'm talking generalities because we have to be careful, but why not make it, water that is aesthetically pleasing and refreshing and healthy looking, and we start adding cucumber slices in the water thing, as opposed to directing the people down to the water fountain that just look that's connected to the bathroom, right? So that's just the lobby experience. And something as simple as I'm thirsty, or my guest is thirsty, could require a completely different approach to how we deliver the quench of that thirst. And then you go up to the hotel room, right? And says, what would this be like? You know, so you have a group of four or five people just kind of walking through it, right? And then you start asking questions about what's appealing, what is not, what do you like, what do you don't like? And suddenly, if you have given permission inclusively, like I said earlier, you allow for different voices, and then things start looking differently. And you look in the shower and you ask the question, what's missing in here? And all the guys say, no, it looks great. Shower head, water, hot water, cold water, it looks great. And the woman says, how am I going to shave my legs in this shower? There's no place to put my foot. There's no foothold. So, you know, the guys are like, oh my God, I never thought about that. For a lot of women, having a safe place to put their foot up so they can shave their legs is an essential part of the experience in the hotel. The women forget the toiletries. And in that, they get a man's razor and a man's comb, when what she needs is a brush and makeup remover. So, innovation, we can think about, smartphones and what all that has meant and how powerful it is, but also we can think about a foothold in a shower in a hotel room where it becomes standardized, where women can expect that wherever they go. But in order to get to those answers, you have to have had diversity and inclusion and a protocol to then elicit the new way of thinking to move into the way you want to do.
No, absolutely. And can I just say the makeup remover, number one. And it's funny, even when you were talking about the example, as I revisit the last few business trips I did, the couple of things I do remember is the healthy looking water that I actually approached and drank, because of course you arrive and you're always thirsty. Mm-hmm. And even visually, that's one of the few things I remember. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think if I look back at what you said, this whole human-centered design, put ourselves in our customer's shoes and build that empathy. Unless we have that diversity of thought and representation, and you started with your answer as like, what do our customers look like if we don't have any representation there? How do we even imagine how we can build that empathy, you know, that we do need to absolutely have for us to be able to innovate and really address their needs? Anyway, so no, thank you for the answer.